A unique lecture for me, the likes of which I've never delivered before, because I pride myself on oratory. I love the spoken word. There's really nothing like it. The written word lasts longer. The visual word can be more entertaining, like on television. But the spoken word really has the capacity to lift people to places where they otherwise might not reach. If you look at the legacy of people like Martin Luther King, who transformed America through the power of the spoken word alone, you could see just the impact it can make on people's lives. So I take my speeches very seriously. I have never had to come to a speech delayed by a few months because the first one, I was essentially a no-show. Basically, I had a completely booze weekend. I'm kidding, by the way. Now, you guys are looking at me like, God, this rabbi, he's also an alcoholic. Not only is he short, he's also an alcoholic. God. I'm not going to get into the ins and outs of what happened, but I will say that, suffice it to say, I'm so happy to finally be here, and I want to offer everyone my very humble apology. It was in the effort to make amends that we sent everyone a copy of my book, The Blessing of Enough. Just so that you know, the synagogues where I turn up on time, they got 10 copies of each of my books, because we're doing anything to get rid of them. So, I do hope that you'll enjoy The Blessing of Enough. It was my ode to American materialism and how there is a suffocating selfishness that is beginning to grip our culture as we just need so much stuff, so many things to make us happy. Not that I want to specifically focus on this, but I'll tell you, I'm always amazed at Black Friday. You know, what is Black Friday? You're going to save so much money. There are deals out there that if you don't participate, you are going to miss out on all the junk you will never use. There is so much stuff out there that stuff that you will never turn on, clothing you will never wear, but you'll save so much money buying things you don't need. And we all just get so enthralled by participating in this materialistic orgy, because amazingly in modern day America, it's things that make us happy. Let me just, for example, point out, is everyone here aware of the fact that we can't really explain, and we don't really know why it is, that women are more depressed today than ever before? In other words, women are more successful than ever before. The past 3 out of 4 secretaries of state of the United States of America have been women. Women now have a higher graduation rate than men at university. If you're a teacher at school, you'll know the boys can't even keep up. That's one of the major issues of education. How do you get the boys to even keep up with the girls in school? But for all of that, women are exhibiting levels of unhappiness that we have scarcely seen. And no one knows why. Some people say it's because they're married. And marriage can do that. For example, this is true. For example, married women are 24% heavier than single women. 24% on average. And you know the reason, right? You see, the single woman comes home and she checks what's in the fridge and then she goes to bed. But the married woman comes home and she checks what's in the bed. I'm not even going to finish that. So some people are saying the reason why women are so unhappy is that they're in these marriages where they feel lonely and neglected, and although at work he is a higher cognitive being capable of articulate speech and communication, but the moment he comes home, he is now a monosyllabic biped, capable of only a grunt as a form of communication. That's particularly true on a day like today, where you'll have football from 1 to 4, football from 4 to 7, football from 8 to 11:30, and if you dare try to get in front of the TV while he is watching, he becomes a modern Maccabee. He is capable, you didn't even know if there was a pulse. He is suddenly alive, he is fighting you, and he can finally speak, or at least he can grunt that you have to get out of the way. So a lot of people are saying women are in unhappy relationships, that is the cause of their unhappiness. That's the mother of one of the women calling, telling her it's time to, I told you not to marry him. There was that nice plumber. The guys are beginning to revolt, by the way. So the first theory is the reason why women are so unhappy is because it's the men's fault. It's the guys' fault. We don't know how to make women happy anymore. In fact, 3 out of 4 divorces in America are initiated by women. 3 out of 4. And by the way, these women are going out not to another relationship. I don't know if you're aware of this. When a man leaves his wife, 90% of the time it's to go to another woman. 90% of the time. When a woman leaves her husband, she's going into the wild blue yonder. It's the exact opposite. 90% of the time she is going into a life of solitude where, you know the statistic, women in America 35 and over have the same likelihood of getting married or remarried as being in a terror attack. That was the famous statistic that Gloria Steinem published in 17 Magazine about 30 years ago. And by the way, I have a dear friend who's a well-known writer who's 39, and she was living at Ground Zero on September 11th, 2001. And she called me a week later and she said, "Shmuley, let me get this right. I'm 39 years old and I'm a single woman. Now that I've been in a terror attack, does this not mean Mr. Wright is just around the corner?" So these women are leaving their husbands and often going to a life of permanent singlehood, and they would prefer that than being with this guy who they feel doesn't understand them. Indeed, the portrayal of the modern American male has never been so critical as in the modern American culture. You know, one of the things that I do professionally is, and I'm not proud of this, I serve as a reality TV host. And I say I'm not proud of this because on the continuum of existence, we begin with single cell amoeba at the very bottom of the ladder. Just above that is locust, cockroach, things like that. Right above that is American reality TV host. Just, if you want to have an understanding of how the American male is portrayed in the culture, is there a hurricane in here? Was it cold? Is that? Are we warming up? That's the heat. So I froze everyone already. Your blood is congealing as I speak. If you want to have an understanding of the depiction of the American male, just imagine this. You know how TV works? You have something called a pitch meeting. So you come with your idea and you go to these networks, usually with what's called a sizzle. It's a little 10-minute reel of something you filmed, and you present it to the commissioning producers in the hope that they'll buy your show and give you 10 episodes, 13 episodes. I was thinking to myself what it must have been like the day that the people came in with this following idea. You're sitting with Lifetime, you're sitting with TLC, you're sitting with Bravo, you're sitting with A&E, and you're saying to them, we have the most incredible idea for a reality TV show. We take five gay men around America to teach heterosexual guys how to be masculine. And you can imagine the network executive saying, that is incredible. Gay men teaching the heterosexual guys how to be macho. I love it. And yet, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy was a defining show in American culture, and it was predicated on the premise that the average straight guy in America has got two brain cells and one eyebrow. He lives in an apartment that looks like a stable, and he smells like a horse. Honestly, I only watched the show two or three times. I watched an episode where the Fab Five go to a straight guy, super cool, very good looking, tight jeans, to teach him how to propose to his girlfriend. So they say to him, what are you going to say to her tonight? He has the ring. He goes, I'm going to take the ring. I'm going to say, will you marry me? No. You got to bake her a quiche. You got to choose the right draperies. And he's looking like, really? I thought you just like hit her over the head with a club and you drag her into your cave. And nobody was offended by this portrayal. Nobody. The downfall of the heterosexual American male is so complete in our culture that the only guys who still want to get married are gay guys.